السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome back to another stop on our journey with the Quran. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about very briefly, inshallah, as much as we can, inshallah, Surah Al-Ankabut and Surah Al-Rum and Surah Luqman. Surah Al-Ankabut, Al-Ankabut is the spider. And we know that during the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the spider to weave its web at the entrance of the cave where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr were seeking protection. And that's Ghar Thawr. And when Quraysh saw that there's a spider web at the entrance of the gate, which could have been broken by anyone who was sheltering in that cave, they recognized that that cave is empty, so they left, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that very thin web of the spider. Now, from a scientific perspective, modern science is telling us that spider web is actually a very, very strong material. So weight for weight compared to steel, spider web is stronger than steel. However, because it's very thin, the silk of the spider or the fabric of the spider is very thin, it's very easy to remove it with one's hand or with any other tool or device. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah describes the spider web or the household of Al-Ankabut, depending on how you translate the word Baytul Ankabut, as the weakest of the households or the weakest of the weaves. But let's start with the beginning of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question, and the question itself carries its own answer. Alif lam mim ahasiban nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun wa laqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim fala ya'lamanna Allahu alladhina sadaqu wa la ya'lamanna alkadibin. Do people think that they're going to be left alone claiming that they're believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without being tested in that claim? That's the question. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the question. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested the people who came before us. فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows beforehand who is telling the truth and who's a liar, who's making a right claim and who's making a false claim. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to recognize that the one who makes the claim before anyone else, for them to recognize whether their claim is true or false. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is telling the truth and who is telling falsehood. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're going to try again to go very quickly over the surah and not stop at every ayah. In Surah Al-Ankabut comes the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from the people who wanted to kill him for telling the truth. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him and his nephew Sayyidina Lut ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam to two different villages. And we know what happened to the village of Sayyidina Lut, who committed an unprecedented sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them in an unprecedented way as well. Now, going back to the household of Al-Ankabut, we mentioned that Baytul Ankabut, the spider web, is a very weak structure from an engineering perspective. It's a very weak structure that can be removed very easily. And that's understood when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the ayah, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. The simile of those who took apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any deities and partners apart from Allah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are like the Ankabut, the spider, when it built a house. اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. That the weakest of the houses, or the weakest of the structures, or the weakest of the residences, or the households, all of these are different meanings of bayt, is the one of the spider. Now, from modern biology, we notice that spiders sometimes do something very unique, especially the female spider. The female spider is basically stronger than the male spider. And sometimes after mating with the male spider, the female spider eats that male spider, kills it and eats it. And even in cases of extreme hunger, the female spider can eat its own offspring, its own baby spiders. So from a social perspective, what kind of household is that? In a normal household, the male earns the living, sometimes helped and supported by the female. They are equal partners in that household, with the male having the qawama, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed in the Quran. And both parents take care of their children. So you can imagine that if the female kills the male, what kind of social structure is that? If the female kills its offspring, what kind of social structure is that? That would be the weakest social structure. And if it is imitated by humans, that would be the destruction of a society or a civilization. So from that perspective, also we can understand that the household of the Ankabut, of the spider, is the weakest socially and structurally as well. So whether you look at it from the literal perspective about the weaving of the Ankabut, the spider web, which is a weak structure, or the social structure of the household of the Ankabut, both of them are complying, of course, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and can explain or interpret the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in our, and here especially in the US or in the West in general, we have what's called the interfaith dialogue. Interfaith dialogue is basically trying to find a common ground, trying to find common values where we and the other members of the family of the scripture can find ways to collaborate. So we have common enemies. Poverty is a common enemy. Disease is a common enemy. Racism is a common enemy. Oppression and discrimination are a common enemies. All of these are common enemies where all the communities of faith can collaborate. Sometimes, unfortunately, these interfaith dialogues are watered down to the extent that someone who's watching from the outside would feel that all of these faiths are good. All of these faiths are equal. All of them are paths to the truth. Whereas we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed to us, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the true religion in the consideration, or the true way of life in the consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-Islam. And in another ayah that we have talked about before, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And those who embrace a way of life other than Islam will not be accepted from them, and on the Day of Judgment, they will be on the losing side. Now, which Islam are we talking about? There is Islam in its comprehensive way and universal meaning, which is the religion of mankind from the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, or created Sayyidina Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. His faith was Islam. The faith of Sayyidina Nuh was Islam. The faith of Sayyidina Ibrahim was Islam. Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Isa, Sayyidina Hud, Sayyidina Salih, Sayyidina Shu'aib, Sayyidina Lut, Sayyidina Yunus, all the prophets and messengers who have been mentioned in the Quran, and those who even have not been mentioned in the Quran, all of them had the same faith, which is Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with the final, conclusive and comprehensive fashion of that Islam, form of that Islam, including the legislation, which is al-Sharia, the way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endorsed for mankind. So anyone who hears about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learns about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and still says, well, I'm gonna follow a previous form of Islam, that of Sayyidina Musa, or that of Sayyidina Isa, or that of Sayyidina Nuh, or Sayyidina Ibrahim, we're gonna tell them, sorry, that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant for humanity. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not send a prophet or a messenger in vain. Sayyidina Isa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to Bani Israel, he told them, I came to confirm the message of my brother Musa, Sayyidina Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, and to override it in certain aspects and restore you to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he also came to confirm all of the messages of the previous prophets, Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Isa and all other prophets, great prophets and messengers, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and to override it in some aspects with the final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, at the time of Sayyidina Musa, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, at least for a certain period of time, the way to repent from a sin was for the sinner to kill himself or herself. That would be the way to repent. And that's why Sayyidina Musa told his followers when they sinned, فَاقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ دَارِئِكُمْ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. So that was before Sayyidina Isa came with an override of that, that someone who wants to repent. And even in the life of Sayyidina Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that rule also was changed. So Sayyidina Isa came to confirm that the sinner does not have to kill himself or herself. They can repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Islam, killing oneself is a major sin. So again, we have to look at that continuum with the conclusion of that tashri'a or legislation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how to communicate with the family of the scripture. وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. Do not argue with the family of the scripture except in the best possible way, the kindest, the mildest, the most friendly, the most respectful way, except for those who are oppressors, except for those who defy you, who fight you, who try to suppress the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent through this message. So again, this is a clear way for us if we're going to conduct interfaith dialogue. We should agree that we have our differences. There are some shared and common values. We are going to respect that. We're going to build on that. However, we should not dilute or ignore these differences. Otherwise, we are saying that Islam is irrelevant if anyone would select to follow a previous legislation from a previous prophet, then it means that Islam is redundant and irrelevant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the end of the surah, concludes the surah with a very beautiful ayah, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who strive in our path will be guided to that path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person has to advance the first step, approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that that person is taking the first step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reciprocate, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the meaning of the hadith, that if you step a handful length to the way in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will approach you in a way fit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an arm length. And if you advance an arm length, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will approach you by a mile. And if you walk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come almost running towards you, again in a way that is fit for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلَةً أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So again, the human being, one of us, should take the first step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we are confused and we are seeking the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his mercy, as he did with Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, when he was searching for the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the truth and guided him to the truth. So it's a matter of us taking that first step and being proactive. Wa inna allaha lama'a al-muhsineen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who seek excellence in everything they do towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, this is a very, very, very brief commentary on some of the ayat, not all the ayat of Surah Al-Ankabut. Surah Al-Rum is a surah, very beautiful surah, Surah Makkiyah, that has some of the most tender passages in the Quran. And it starts with a newscast that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, commenting on a battle that took place thousands of miles away. Alif lam mim, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله ينصر من يشاء وهو العزيز الرحيم. During the days of Mecca, the believers in Mecca had some sympathy for their brethren, from the family of the scripture, the Christians, the Romans in the north in Asham, because there used to be almost annual or seasonal wars between the Romans and the Persians, the two superpowers of that time. The non-believers of Quraysh looked at the Persians as closer to them. They are worshipping the fire, and they are not worshipping the God of Muhammad, as they said. So when that battle took place, and again these battles, as I said, for the control of Arabia and control of the trade routes between the south and the north and so on, Quraysh, by the way, benefited from these battles because, again, Quraysh was the middleman. So if the south is occupied by the Persians and the north is occupied by the Romans, these pagan Arabs could travel safely between the two kingdoms and trade with both of them at the same time. If it switches, the south now is controlled by the Romans and the north is controlled by the Persians, again, it's a good way to be the middleman and to do transactions with both superpowers at the same time. So what happened here is, the news came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from this surah that the Romans have been defeated at the lowest point on earth, and that's somewhere close to the Dead Sea in what's now Jordan or in Palestine, in that area of Asham. That's where the battle took place, and that's another geographic miracle, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew at that time that this is the lowest earth point on earth or land point on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gave that news of defeat of the Romans, which was sad news for the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lessened the blow with some news from the future. وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بِضْعِ سِنِينَ. And they're going to defeat the Persians in a few years. بِضْعِ is somewhere between 3 and 9. Anywhere more than 2 and less than 10. Which happened actually. That battle took place actually, and the Romans defeated the Persians. Look at here the beautiful hint from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. The reader of this ayah, when it was revealed, would understand it that on that day, the believers would be satisfied and happy with the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, when this ayah was revealed in Mecca, what would that mean? It means that the Romans have defeated the Persians. However, when that second battle took place, when did that happen? It happened on the 17th of Ramadan of the second year of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Does anyone recognize the significance of that day? That day is the day of the Battle of Badr, the greatest victory of the Muslims against the non-believers, the first major battle between the Muslims and the non-believers. So these two victories coincided on the same day. Which one do you think is going to please the believers more? Of course, it is that hidden victory that they didn't even know about, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it implicitly. وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. On that day, the believers will be happy and satisfied with the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be understood as the victory of the Romans, of the Persians, but the deeper meaning and the long-lasting meaning is the victory of the believers over the non-believers on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites mankind to walk around on earth and look around, to explore and to ponder upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of the perfection of His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Haven't they walked on earth and seen what happened to the nations before them? No nation was everlasting. No nation had only victories and no defeats. These nations had cycles. One would ascend until it reaches its peak or apex, and then the curve starts going downwards, and then it would be replaced by another civilization and so on. So it's like waves of these different civilizations. And what is the reason for the destruction of a civilization and being replaced by another one? It is always injustice. the lack of justice. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not cause any injustice to them, but they are the ones who caused the major injustice. And the biggest injustice was to associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to completely deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is definitely a recipe for the destruction of any nation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this beautiful, very beautiful passage to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beauty of and the majesty of His creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's an invitation to, when we ponder and we look at the signs around us, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ. So glory and praise is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ. When it's night time or when it's in the morning. So we make tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the evening and in the morning. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ and grace and praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens and in the earth. وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ at the time of Isha and at the time of Dhuhr. So all time, all the creatures praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are not Sayyidina Sulaiman, so we are not going to understand that their tasbih. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. So the ayah continues, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَشِيًّا وَحِينَ تُظْهِرُونَ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَيُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. He extracts life from death and death from life, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the earth after it has seemed to have died. And this is the simile of your resurrection. When you die and you are decomposed and the bones turn into dust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, the creator subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who would be able and capable of reconstructing that body and reinserting the soul and holding that person accountable for what he or she did. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And then here the next few ayat are talking about signs of that majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. One of His signs subhanahu wa ta'ala, or some of His signs, is that He created you out of dust. And then you turned into humans who are spreading around that earth. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. And one of His signs, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Among His signs, that He has created from among yourselves your own mates. And He subhanahu, so that you can find rest and comfort and calm in their proximity. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this affection and mercy based on which the household would be erected or elevated. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. These are signs for those who ponder, who think about the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالِمِينَ. And among His signs subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creation of the heavens and the earth and the diversity of your ethnicities, your languages, your colors, your skins, your nations. And again, in that is a sign for the scholars, for the knowledgeable ones, for those who utilize that gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, which is the intellect. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. Among His signs subhanahu wa ta'ala, your sleep at night and during the day, whether it's a nap during the day or something like that to recharge. وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. During the day you work seeking the sustenance and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. And again, at night, in the darkness of the night, the sight is not the primary sense. Because again, in the darkness of the night, you cannot see quite far. But hearing and listening is the major sense at that time, because you can distinguish things and dangers and so on by hearing things. That's why subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he started the ayah with banamukum billayl and ended the ayah with ayat liqawmin yasma'un, because of that major sense during the darkness of the night. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Among his signs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you lightning. And when you see lightning, it can be one of two things. Either a storm, which can be destructive, or it can be that rain is following, which is good news for those who irrigate that land based on that rain. So the two feelings are intermixed. Khawf, fear, and tama, hope and greed. And hope basically in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with good rain so that we can grow our crops. وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. So following that lightning comes rain with the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the dead earth after it has died and dried. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. These are signs for those, again, who think and those who ponder and understand that the simile of reviving this earth is our revival on the Day of Judgment. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ دَعْوَةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ تَخْرُجُونَ. Among his signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the heavens and the earth are sustained by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that when he subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us from the depths of the earth, we rise from the dead and respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. And he is the one who started the creation, and he's the one who's going to repeat it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, restore it after death. وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. And if someone is judging by ease or hardship, and there's nothing hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything is easy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. It's even easier to those who might think recreation might be easier than creation from nothing. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala has the greatest example in the heavens and the earth, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mighty, the most wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very beautiful ayat that are talking about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very tender ayat as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, then recognizing who that Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the only one worthy of worship, to set our faces straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَبَدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So set your face straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not go into different directions. Stay the course towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us initially. So for those who stay the course, they are following that path from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for those who select to go astray sideways, that's up to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if you're going to set your face towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are some obligations. فَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Give charity to your poor relatives and to the destitute and the poor and the passerby who is stranded with no money. This is better for those who are seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the successful ones. However, those who practice that bad practice of usury, riba, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ. The purpose of riba is to try to increase your money through unlawful means without doing any effort or without taking any risks. Trade, on the other hand, you do effort and you take risks. There's the risk of losing your capital. But with riba, with usury, you are guaranteed that you're going to get your capital back plus an added amount without doing any effort and without having any risk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this increase that you see in your eyes does not translate into an increase in the consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبًا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. On the other hand, what is grown in the consideration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن زَكَاةٍ تُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. And whatever zakat, charity and alms you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the condition, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُضْعِفُونَ. These are the multipliers, the ones who multiply their investment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ رَزَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ هَلْ مِنْ شُرَكَائِكُمْ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مِنْ ذَلِكُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created you and then sustained you, and then he's the one who's going to cause you to die, and he's the one who's going to revive you. Are there any other partners or associates or deities or idols that claim to do that? Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Glorified is he subhanahu wa ta'ala from what they associate with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the ill effects of our deeds that we can see in the world around us, in the physical world around us. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. So the corruption that we're seeing on the face of the earth today, both on land and in the sea, where you have the global warming or the change of seasons or the dead fisheries or the imbalance between the different animals and the creatures on earth that was messed up by humans, or the burning of the fossil fuels and the emissions that we send, and all of these things, this is fasad, this is corruption, this is, we are corrupting the beautiful creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the impact, we are feeling it because this is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us feel and taste the earnings of our own hands so that we may repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the key purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending all of these things as a warning, as a reminder, so that we can wake up from our slumber and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not as a permanent punishment. Subhanallah al-Azim. By the end of the surah, there are some very beautiful ayat about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the rain on a dead earth, and it grows and it prospers and it becomes green and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a very beautiful ayah says, فَانْدُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who revived this dead, is bringing to our attention, this is the simile or a parable on how he subhanahu wa ta'ala will revive us after we die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْدُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Look at the traces of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not فَانْدُرْ إِلَىٰ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. This is very interesting. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the meaning of the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided his mercy into 100 parts. 100 parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended one of these 100 parts on earth. Only one. So 1%, a trace of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he subhanahu wa ta'ala spared 99% of that mercy for the day of judgment. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, look at the mercy of a mother on her child, or the mercy between the different creatures, and the compassion that some people have for others, and the sympathy they have for others. All of that is only 1% of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of hope should we have in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, in the 99% that he subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for that day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the recipients of that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and particularly in the hereafter. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see these traces of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of that 1% that He subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to descend on earth. Surah Luqman, and again, as I mentioned at the beginning, we're going to try very quickly and not stop at every ayah as we used to do before because of the effect of time. Surah Luqman is a very beautiful surah with a lot of advice from a very wise man. Luqman is a very dark-skinned African carpenter. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him, he was a dark-skinned man with big lips, and his profession was a carpenter. What did he do? Again, the appearance, we do not judge people by their appearance. The color of skin, the height, the weight, the looks, etc. All of these are very, very simple things and superficial things. We only judge people based on their character. And Luqman had a great character, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran, that I'm going to go directly to the story of Luqman in this surah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a great gift, which is wisdom. And what is the first sign of wisdom is to attribute bounties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ يَشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ Because وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ Whoever shows gratitude, that's for them. They benefit from that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not gain anything from the gratitude that people show. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lose anything from the ingratitude of people either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is immune from whatever people do. It's only people who either benefit or are harmed by what they advance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ And whoever disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or suppresses the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَنِي, is in no need subhanahu wa ta'ala, is independent. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the riches. حَمِيد, and he appreciates and is thankful for the ones who appreciate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him accordingly. Now, what did this man who was blessed with that wisdom, what did he do with this wisdom? After thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciated the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wanted to transmit this wisdom to his son in the form of an advice to his son. And this is very important, by the way. That's the role of parents. Sometimes the parents care too much about providing for their family. And they work two or three or four jobs. They work day and night to provide a decent, stable life for their families. But unfortunately, in the process, the family loses the physical presence of that parent. So the child does not sit with his parent. The child does not learn firsthand from the example of the parent. That's something that's missing in our communities today because of how busy life is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, take some time from your life. And subhanallah, yani, sometimes blessings come in disguise. One of the greatest blessings of our modern time has been these past few weeks with the confinement that we've had in our houses and not being able to go to work, working from home, etc. That close proximity to our families enabled us to know them better and enabled them to know us better. So again, let's look at this blessing in disguise, that extra time that we spend with our spouses, with our children. Of course, there's going to be some friction resulting from that. Of course, there are going to be some quarrels and disputes and so on. But again, let's look at the bigger picture. It's a better way for us to know them and for them to know us. So Luqman, he had his profession as a carpenter. He used to work for part of the day, and then he used to dedicate the rest of the day to his family, to instruct them, to advise them, to remind them. وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك. The first advice that comes from Luqman to his son is the most important advice. لا تشرك. In the two different ways of reading this ayah, and both of them are very beautiful. يا بني لا تشرك بالله. Do not associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Indeed, association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a great injustice. Another way of reading the ayah is يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Oh my son, do not associate. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that association is a bad sin. Both of them are valid ways of reading the surah or the ayah and understanding the ayah. Both of them have very beautiful subtleties to understand this ayah. Next, as usual, after the advice not to associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes what? Kindness to parents. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds people to be kind to their parents, especially the mother whose pregnancy was weakness and pain upon weakness and pain of labor. And then she nursed that baby for 2 years. So when that young child or that child grows up and becomes a strong individual, man or woman, they should show gratitude to those parents. أنشكر لي, show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ولوالديك, and your parents, إلي المصير. Even if these parents have a different faith, even if they are non-believers, وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. Even if they are non-believers and even if they tell you to disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not obey them. This is the limit of obedience. The limit is here. The line is drawn here. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something, that comes before anything else. If there's a conflict between what the parents say and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, of course do not listen to what the parents are saying. Apart from that, listen to them if it's in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And even if they are in a path opposite to the prescribed path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not obey them, yet be kind to them and be gentle with them and treat them kindly with respect. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And then the advice comes about the behavior. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُمْ إِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُمْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Oh my son, if your action, if your deed were a mustard seed, if it's a grain, if it's an atom's weight in the heavens or in the earth, and you think mistakenly that's going to be hidden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it. So always be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Observe the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that you say and everything that you do. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Oh my son, again, behavior and actions. Establish the prayer. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. And enjoin good and forbid evil. You cannot be a true believer without enjoining good and forbidding evil. And if you do that, you're going to have resistance, you're going to have opposition, you're going to face a backlash. Therefore, the advice is وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, and endure patience and pay the price for the price that you'll have to pay for telling the truth, for enjoining good and forbidding evil. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is the true character. This is how it shows a strength of character. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Do not turn your cheek up like that out of arrogance when you talk to people. And do not tread on earth with too much joy or too much arrogance without being modest and without being slow and cautious to understand and to see where you're stepping in. إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like or love any arrogant, pompous person. واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. القصد واقصد في مشيك can be understood in different ways. واقصد في مشيك have a purpose for the destination where you're going. Don't just go anywhere without thinking what you're doing. Always have a purpose, have an intention, have a goal on what you're doing. And at the same time also, waqsid fi mashyik iqtasid. So again, be careful where you're walking. Walk carefully so that you don't step in a place where you shouldn't go. Waqsid fi mashyik. And when you speak, waghdud min sawtik. Lower your voice. Don't shout loudly and don't call someone from a distance and something like that. That's not the behavior for a serene, composed person. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. The very loud noise of braying of a donkey is not a very appreciated sound. It's a very weird, odd, and not pleasant sound. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, by the way, that among the animals that can see different creatures are birds and other animals. The donkeys, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whenever they bray loudly like that, they have seen a devil. And when the rooster makes his call in the morning or at any other time of the day, they have seen an angel. That's why if you have chicken and roosters, you hear the rooster call, especially at the time of Fajr. That's where the shifts between the night angels and the day angels take place. Each these two groups meet with each other and they exchange roles. So that's where the roosters see that and they make their call at dawn. Very beautiful ayat from Surah Luqman. By the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us again of the fact that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong everything in the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, the two attributes that came at the beginning of the surah come back here at the end of the surah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدِ. He is the one in no need and He is the one who appreciates the thanks and the gratitude of His servant subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله إن الله عزيز حكيم. The same meaning came by the end of Surah Al-Kahf. قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي. Say if the sea was ink for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the seas and the oceans and the rivers would dry before the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala run out. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if every tree on earth is a pen and the sea is supplying these pens with ink, followed or exceeded by seven times these seas, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not run out. Inna Allaha Azizun Hakim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mighty and wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma khalqukum wa la ba'thukum illa ka nafsin wahida. Your creation and your resurrection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just like of this whole humanity. It's just like the creation and the resurrection of one soul. That's how easy it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the surah, and again we're going to conclude with this beautiful passage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was one of the first advices of Luqman when he advised his son. لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. O mankind, including ins and jinn, or all nas, the populations, ins and jinn, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prepare for your meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and beware of a day where a son is not going to do any good for his father, and a father is not going to do any good for his son. This is a true promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be fooled, don't be deceived by this life, and don't be deceived by all the different calls to forget about that day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a sample of the five unknowns that only He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who knows when the day of judgment is. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ He subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows when rain will come and where it will come. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is in the wombs. That does not only include the gender of the fetus, which modern science at a certain period in pregnancy can detect that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going to happen to that fetus. What kind of person is he or she going to be? What is prescribed for them during their life? What are they going to earn? For how long are they going to live? Are they going to be good or bad? Are they going to be happy or miserable? What kind of sustenance are they going to get in their life? All of that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا No soul knows for sure what is it going to earn the following day. No one knows. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ And no soul knows exactly where is it going to die. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows not only what's on the surface or what is appearing, but what's kept deep inside our chests and our minds. He subhanahu wa ta'ala, to him, that is as good as it is public. So whether you hide it or show it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. These are beautiful ayat from Surah Luqman. Inshallah, our next stop is going to be with Surah As-Sajda and Surah Al-Ahzab and Surah Saba and Surah Fatir, inshallah. Again, we're going to stop at certain ayat and not at every ayah. So until our next stop, inshallah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.